Hello, everybody. This is Angelina Lopez with ICANN, and I will be moderating today's GDD Technical Specification webinar. When submitting a question that you want read out loud over the microphone, please provide your name and affiliation if you are representing one. Start your sequence with question and enter, and end with question. When submitting a comment, do the same as well. Start and end with comment. Today's webinar will cover the summary of the temporary specification for GTLD registration data. It will be a live webinar, and we are going to be translating live as well in the 5-6 UN languages. Cyrus will be introducing the beginning of the webinar. Cyrus, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thank you, Angelina. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining today's webinar. Today, we would like to provide you with an update regarding the recently adopted ICANN temporary specification for GTLD registration data and how it affects ICANN contracted parties. At the conclusion of the presentation portion, we have built-in time for questions, and we will do our best to answer as many as we can during the one-hour session. In the interest of efficiency, we're only going to be taking questions through the Adobe chat room and ask that you submit one question at a time so we hear from as many people as possible. Please note that we continue to believe that all provisions of the temporary specification remain valid and enforceable, and expect our contracted parties to continue to implement them per the terms of our contracts. We have no new updates on the status of further legal action by ICANN in relation to GDPR and the temporary policy, and for the purposes of this webinar, would like everyone to remain focused on the provisions contained within the specification. We will begin with a brief overview of the temporary specification, followed by a discussion on domain transfers, data processing agreements, bulk transfers and RDAP, and finally, questions and answers. Now, a brief disclaimer statement. Our intent today is to provide you with a high-level overview of the temporary specification to help you stay in compliance with your contracts. Practical tips included in this presentation are suggestions for compliance with the temporary specification and are not meant to assure a contracted party is in compliance with GDPR. You're advised to solicit legal counsel for advice applicable to your particular circumstances and business model. Just to do a recap of where we've been and where we are today, the ICANN temporary specification establishes certain requirements on how to continue to comply with the existing contractual requirements and policies related to who is, while also complying with the European Union's data protection laws, or GDPR. It was approved by ICANN board on the 17th of May and became effective on the 25th of May. ICANN board must reaffirm it every 90 days, and it may remain effective for up to 1 year. It's applicable to all registrars and GTLD registry operators. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to turn it over to Russ Weinstein, our Director of Registry Services and Engagement Team, to begin with the details of the temporary specification. Russ, over to you.
Thank you, Cyrus. One of the key questions we've been receiving and one of the key themes of this webinar is to help registries and registrars understand how this affects your business. This is a fairly complex question, and we're going to do our best to provide clarity here. So first off, want to stress, as Cyrus just mentioned, that the temporary specification is applicable to all the contracted parties, the registries and registrars. Second, the temporary specification does not change contractual requirements related to registration data collection, retention, transfer, or data escrow. In the next few slides, we will attempt to address how this does affect me as a contract party. So here we've mapped out a matrix for you all to see particular sections in the specification and how they, whether they apply to all registrars or all registries. And later in the, we talk about some of the variability components. First off, registrars need to ensure the registration agreement for registrants complies with Section 7.1, which may require making changes to your registration agreements. And this applies to both existing and new registrations. Next is data escrow agreements. We'll talk more about this later in the presentation, but both registries and registrars will need to update their data escrow agreements to include data processing language similar to that in the temporary specification. And data processing requirements are included in this temporary specification, and the contracted parties need to ensure they're incorporating the data processing requirements into their operations and to apply necessary safeguards for international data transfers. That's applicable to all contracted parties. Similarly, RDAP is a new registration data directory service that all contracted parties will need to implement, and we encourage contracted parties to begin preparing for that now. Francisco Arias will cover more on RDAP later in the presentation. Registries will need to update their registry registrar agreements to incorporate data processing language similar to that that's in the temporary specification. And we'll again go into a little more on the how-to on that later in the presentation. And finally, registry operators will likely need to modify their bulk registration data access or BRDA files that they're currently depositing with ICANN today. And Francisco, again, will touch on that in a little more depth later in the presentation. Now, those were all the must-dos, and the temporary specification does allow some flexibility to accommodate business models. Redaction of registration data is required if any of the conditions in the Appendix A, Section 2.1, are met, and I'll talk about those a little more on the next slide. However, contracted parties may apply the redaction more broadly if it has a commercially reasonable purpose or technical feasibility limitation to do so. If the data is redacted, the other items in this table do apply, including registrars need to provide an option for the contact to consent to allow additional publication of registration data. Registries and registrars need to ensure that if they're authorized and mandated to do searchable, who is, that those capabilities align with the redaction requirements, and that registrars will need to provide an anonymized email for each contact, and that can be in the form of either an anonymized email address or a web form. The registry's responsibility is to point through their who is, to point to the registrar's who is to find that anonymized email or web form data. So what are those conditions I referred to that are in Section 2.1 of Appendix A? That's the RDDS specification. First, it's good to remember that the temporary specification attempts to preserve the status quo with WHOIS as much as possible while complying with the law. So as mentioned previously, this section provides three criteria where Sections 2, which is the data redaction, and Section 4, which is the access to data, for registration data directory services must be applied. but the contracted parties do have the option to apply those redactions more broadly. Again, that's if they have a commercially reasonable reason to do so or a technical feasibility limitation. Essentially, a contracted party must assess if they're established in the EEA, if their registrant is in the EEA, or if any of the personal data is processed within the EEA. These sections must apply, and the EEA is the European Economic Area. I mentioned access to non-public registration data, so we'll spotlight that a bit more in this slide. For any data that gets redacted, requirements are that contracted parties must provide a mechanism for access to that non-public registration data. First, here we have the two dispute resolution services, the UDRP and URS, and those are spotlighted in Appendix E and Appendix D. UDRP applies to registrars, so if the data is not in the public who is, then if a complaint comes into the UDRP provider, they will need to ask the relevant registrar for that data, and the registrar is obligated to provide that data. Similarly, for URS and for thick registries, this is the registry responsibility. If a URS complaint comes in and the URS provider can't find the registration data in the public who is, they will ask the registry for that data and they're obligated to provide it. If it's a thin registry, the registry's obligation is to point over to the registrar, who then is responsible for providing that data. The third row here is about ICANN contractual compliance. The compliance department may need to access specific registration data to investigate compliance complaints and enforce the agreements. They'll talk about this more in depth, but the expectation is that contracted parties need to provide this data upon request from compliance. And finally is third-party requests. So if registries and registrars are redacting the personal data as described in Section 2 of the Appendix A, they're required to provide a reasonable access to personal registration data to third parties on the basis of legitimate interest, and that's in Section 4 of the Appendix A. I'll now pass it over to Jennifer Scott from our contractual compliance team, who will talk a little bit more about some of the compliance aspects of this temp spec.
Thanks, Russ. Yes, this is Jennifer Scott, Senior Director with ICANN Contractual Compliance Team. To recap on the specifications overview, it is in effect as of the 25th of May. Therefore, it's already being enforced by the ICANN Contractual Compliance Department, similar to any other effective ICANN agreement or policy. The scope of the enforcement is the temporary specifications requirements, as well as the ICANN agreements and policies that remain in effect and unchanged by the temporary specification. The scope does not extend to contracted parties' compliance with the General Data Protection Regulation laws. To facilitate ICANN contractual compliance efforts, contracted parties may be requested to provide personal non-public registration data to ICANN, which is a legitimate interest as described in the specification. Any enforcement efforts will follow the same ICANN contractual compliance approach and process that is used with other ICANN agreements, policies, and obligations for contracted parties. This includes both internal monitoring efforts and receipt and processing of third-party complaints. If contracted parties are non-compliant with the specification when approached with a compliance notice, they will need to come into compliance, including providing a plan for remediation, and ICANN will take that into account on a case-by-case basis. With that, I will turn the discussion over to Jennifer Gore, who will share more detailed information regarding the temporary specifications requirements for domain name transfers.
Thank you, Jen. I appreciate that. This is Jennifer Gore, Director of Registrar Services and Engagement, and I'd like to talk a little bit about transfers. If you please advance the slide, thank you. In the event that the gaining registrar cannot access current registration data or a name subject to a transfer, the following must occur under the temporary specification. The gaining registrar is not required to obtain the form of authorization, otherwise known as the FOA, from the transfer contact as previously required per the transfer policy, formerly known as the inter-registrar transfer policy. Transfers will continue to require a valid authorization code. The losing registrar will continue to send the FOA that allows the registrant or admin contact to approve, otherwise known as ACK, or deny, otherwise known as NAC, the transfer. If no action is taken with the transfer, it will auto-ACK by default, otherwise known as approve the transfer, after 5 days from the initiation of the transfer. The registration information will not be transferred as part of the existing transfer policy. Therefore, the registrant will need to independently re-enter their information with the gaining registrar, including completing the required verification steps specified in the registrar accreditation agreement. Gaining registrar is not required to follow the transfer policy change of the registration process, however. The registry operator is still required to verify the auth code provided by the gaining registrar. In the event of an unauthorized transfer, remedies for the registrant are outlined in the current transfer dispute resolution policy. You will also hear from Karen Lentz, who will share information about the accreditation access legitimate interest, URS, UDRP, and ICANN compliance.
Hi, this is Russ Weinstein. Sorry, Jen, we switched up the agenda, I think, a little bit since we talked last night. The next thing we're going to talk about are the required updates to data processing agreements. The temporary specification itself essentially adds the necessary data processing provisions between ICANN and the contracted party. Now we'll need the contracted parties to add similar data processing agreements to their agreements amongst themselves via the registry-registrar agreement and the data escrow providers and the contracted party. And that's what we'll talk about in terms of process next. So Section 6 of the temporary specification discusses registry-registrar agreements. And what we're looking for is that the registries will add data processing provisions concerning the handling of personal data to its registry-registrar agreement. As you probably know, there's an existing procedure to amend RRAs and in an attempt to try and reduce some of the administrative overhead on all three parties, ICANN, the registry, and the registrar stakeholder group. The temporary spec calls for pre-approved language that can be applied by registries to their RRAs that will essentially bypass the procedure. Now, the registry and registrar stakeholder group graciously took the first cut at generating this pre-approved language, and we thank them for that. We just got a copy of it on Monday, and it's in our internal review process now. We're hopeful that that'll get settled shortly, and once it does, we'll be making it available for use by all the registries and registrars. And so more information to come related to process and when that is available. As mentioned, if a registry elects to use that pre-approved language, we'll need them to submit us a copy of that updated RRA, and we'll create a form that they can fill out to self-certify that the amendment complies with the pre-approved language, and all that can be delivered to ICANN through the naming services portal. This can be done in parallel with the registry getting their escrow or getting their RRA implemented with their registrars. As mentioned, you can circumvent the RRA amendment procedure and just deliver the updated amendment to ICANN. no approval required if it complies. Again, as we develop the necessary content for that agreement, and we'll generate a form and make instructions more readily available to all parties. And the other one, the other agreement I referenced is the data escrow agreements. Both registries and registrars have data escrow agreements in place with ICANN's approved data escrow providers. The temporary specification requires that those agreements contain data processing requirements consistent with Article 28 of the GDPR, so that updates are likely required to all of the data escrow agreements for contracted parties. ICANN is currently working with escrow providers to develop the language, and we expect these to come in the form of either addendums or updated templates to the data escrow provider agreements. We'll be discussing more about the process as we recognize we're working to get 2,500-plus agreements updated in an orderly and timely fashion. We're still working with the providers, as well as with the – we'll be in touch with the registry and registrar stakeholder groups as well to help define an orderly process for this to happen and ensure that the language is agreeable to all parties. When we have more information on this topic, we'll share so as expediently as we can. Now we're going to pass it over to Francisco, who's going to talk about some of the technical aspects coming your way.
Hello, this is Francisco Arias, Senior Director of GE Technical Services. So I'm going to talk about two topics today, bulk registration data access to ICANN and the registration data access protocol. So let's start with BRDA. This is a requirement that applies to all the GTLD registries with the exception of .name. Excuse me. And the change here is intended to it's changing the contents of the BRDA. In the past, it used to be okay to provide the full data set, so the TIC data, for to ICANN. And this is not consistent with the purpose we have defined for this data. All the races will need to change this to only provide TIN data and the specific fields that are allowed are listed here, and you can find them in the temporary spec. Basically, it's removing all the personal data about contacts. So this is something that is very important to know that almost everyone needs to do on the registry side with the exception of .name, so you need to start working on this as soon as possible. This is BRDA. So now RDAP. RDAP is the protocol that is intended to replace WHIS, and the temporary spec signals that ICANN intends to require implementation of RDAP within 135 days after requesting that. And the intention is to request implementation following the couple of deadlines that are set in the temporary spec. One is for ICANN organization and the contract parties to come to agreement to having a GTLD RDAP profile or profiles, and also to have RDAP SLA, service level agreement, and reporting requirements. All of those need to be defined by the end of July. And shortly after, ICANN intends to request implementation from the contractor parties, for which you are going to have 135 days. And so we are looking for implementation of RDAP by mid-December. So in that sense, it's very important that you start working on the implementation of RDAP as soon as possible. You can implement RDAP at the moment in, let's say, your own way, so you can have the features that you want in general. This is provided through what is called the the ARDAP pilot. There is a pilot that is ongoing. I have more data on the pilot in the next few slides. But in short, like I said, you can implement ARDAP in your own way at the moment. Just keep in mind that once the profile is published, then you're going to be required to follow this profile and so implement ARDAP in a consistent way. And like I said, the likely deadline for that will be the mid-December. If you're interested in working in developing this profile or negotiating the service level agreements and reporting requirements with ICANN, it's important to be in contact with the registry stakeholder and registrar stakeholder leadership. They can provide you the information you need in order to participate in this discussion with ICANN. Another important thing to consider here is that registries that are required to offer searchability in their registry agreements, the temporary spec specifies that searchability will have to be offered also over ARDAP. So now you will have to do it over web GUIs, which is the current status quo, and you will have to offer over ARDAP once ARDAP is required. The important thing to note here is that the current searchability capabilities that ARDAP offers do not seem to offer the functionality that is required by the registry agreement and the temporary specs. So there is work that needs to be done in terms of adding functionality to ARDAP, which is okay. ARDAP allows for extensibility. So you may be interested in starting working through the ITF process, which is where the standardization of ARDAP happens, to make these changes to ARDAP in this regard. Let's see. The profile, I don't intend to go too much detail on this, just to say that the profile or profiles are intended to specify which features of ARDAP are need to be implemented. This is because ARDAP is the standard is like a menu of options. It says you can do this, you can do that, but it doesn't tell you which features you have to turn on or not. So the profile or profiles intend to tell the GTL registrars and registrars which features need to be turned on specifically, and a few other technical parameters that need to be taken into consideration. I thought we got a question whether ARDAP is intended to be a protocol for the communication between registries and registrars. It's important to know that ARDAP is intended to be a public service, so it's intended to be offered by registries and registrars to anyone in the community. So just something to take into account there. In terms of the timeline to implement ARDAP, the main features is we have the pilot that started in last September. This May, the temporary spec was published and has requirements and deadlines regarding ARDAP, as I mentioned before. And the very important deadline of end of July to have the profile or profiles, the service level agreement and the reporting requirements agreed. So please make sure that you participate in these discussions. So likely in August we are going to invoke ARDAP implementation so that in December it will become a requirement for registries and registrars. So like I said before, it's very important you start working on ARDAP, you start looking into how you go about this, how do you participate in the definition of the profile, the SLA, and the reporting requirements. We have some resources available in the ICANN.org/ARDAP. We are working on updating that page, so more to come there. But please look into this as soon as you can. Like I said, it's a service you are going to be offering in the next few months, so better start working now. For those of you that are a little bit ahead on that regard, there is a pilot, an ongoing pilot in which you can participate. You can find the link in the third bullet in this slide. You can find those that are participating. Currently, we have about seven different organizations, registries, covering a little bit more than 100 ETLDs. So they are already offering the RDAP service, although in this moment not in a consistent way. That's, like I'd say, something that will come with the profile or profiles. You can join the mailing list, the ETL Tech mailing list. That's intended to be to serve as a forum for any technical discussion related to ETLDs, and the discussions about the RDAP pilot are of course something welcome there. But if you want to participate in the specifics of the there is some mailing list specifically set up by the registry and registrar leadership to for the registrars and registrars to talk among themselves, and also regarding the pilot and also the profile, the SLAs and the reporting requirements. So as your leadership, how you can participate there. And with this, I turn back the microphone to Angelina. Thank you.
Thank you, Francisco. Now we will begin the question and answer portion. Our first question comes from Agnieszka Parkia. If the gaming registrar is unable to gain access to the then current registration data for a domain name subject of a transfer, how can we recognize domain name holder and his email address who requests the transfer, and how can we be sure about the accuracy of registrant data which he provides? Jennifer Gore?
Thank you for the question. Obviously, we are encouraging registrars to work together in their best interest to ensure that the transfer of registration takes place seamlessly. As part of having the auth code, the authorization code provides the essential item that is needed to perform the transfer. In order to validate the information associated to the registrant, we ask that you use means necessary or available to you for that information, whether that be access to who is or working with the appropriate party to ensure that registrant is the former registrant associated to that domain name. Thanks for the question.
Our next question is from Chris Pelling. You have mentioned searchability in RDAP. What specifically will be searchable, noting the GDPR will not allow bulk use?
Thank you for the question, Chris. The requirements on searchability remain the same that are in the registry agreement. So you can find them in, I believe, section 1.10 of specification 4. So that section has specific requirements on what fields can be used as parameters for searchability and what can be what needs to be returned. The RDAP currently has very basic functionality in terms of searchability, and I believe that is not enough to comply with the requirements in that section. So that's the kind of things that need to be looked at from a technical perspective to extend RDAP to allow for this searchability. For what it's worth, there is if you follow, I will invite people interested on this to join the discussion in the ITF mailing list. There is the regex registry extensions working group in the ITF that has RDAP and EPP among other things in scope. And for the next ITF meeting, which is in Montreal in July, searchability in RDAP is a topic in the agenda. I'll be moderating a discussion there on this regard. So I'll will encourage you to join the discussion there to get this functionality needed standardized as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Francisco. Our next question comes from Volkner Grimman. How does ICANN plan to address the plain and obvious legal misrepresentations regarding purposes and controller processor status contained in the spec? Will such purposes be amended, or will we be forced to publish incorrect and legally contestable purposes in our data privacy declarations, thereby exposing us to legal risks? A clarification regarding purposes: we do not need the data in who is for 4.4.4, 4.4.6. We use account data instead. 4.4.7 only applies if the RNH actually makes such a request. So processing prior to that cannot be based on this purpose. 4.4.10 does not need registration data of the contact zones. Files do not even contain these data points. 4.4.13 is problematic too, as it presumes compliance can ask for any data if they feel like it. Addition to this question, 4.5.2, this system is not even defined yet. How can ICANN post it will be fit for purpose and processing is going to be proportionate?
Thank you, Volker. This is Cyrus Namazi with ICANN Org, and thank you for your question. There's a whole bunch of specific details in there, and I'm not sure if this is the right place to get into it. But I'd like to draw your attention to, and everybody else on this webinar, frankly, to how we ended up where we ended up and where we're intending to go. The overarching goal for us has always been to maintain the status quo that has been in place and been developed bottoms up through the multi-stakeholder process, some of it through consensus policy, while ensuring that there's compliance with GDPR's requirements as of the effective date of May 25. A lot of the issues and questions that you raise are quite good and valid, but I think the forum to actually go discuss these now is within the expedited PDP process that the GNSO Council is going to take up. And essentially help and hope to clean up some of these what you consider to be unnecessary or unavailable or unneeded elements out of the specification into an ultimately adopted consensus policy. I hope this helps. I don't want to get into a debate of a specific provisions of what you're specifying, but I just wanted to make sure that we level set in terms of why we ended up where we ended up and where we hope to go. Thank you.
As a reminder to the audience, we will be posting these slide decks and the recordings in all of the languages on ICANN.org at the Data Privacy Protection page. You can find them there as soon as we can post them. Our next question is from Jeff Newman. When explaining RDAP to the community, make sure it is made clear that RDAP does not mean that tiered access will be implemented. It means that there will be a capability to implement RDAP, but it awaits policy development to determine the tiered access rules. Clarification, I mean capability to implement tiered access.
This is Francisco. Thank you for the question, Jeff. I think the requirement in the TEMP spec is to, the ambition requirement or the future requirement will be to implement RDAP. It is correct, Jeff, that the requirement for a consistent tire access model, the accreditation model, as I believe it is called, that's subject for a different effort that is not covered by the TEMP spec. However, using RDAP as the So having RDAP as one option, it doesn't necessarily have to be the only option, but RDAP is an option that the contractor parties have to implement the requirement they have in the TEMP spec to provide access to tier parties with legitimate purposes. So just want to clarify that it's not that you cannot do that. You could do it. The part of having a consistent way to implement the accreditation model, it's indeed true that that's not part of the 10 spec. That's something for the future. But a contract Paris could do right now, even before mid-December, implement RDAP and use that as the mechanism by which they provide access to tier parties that have a legitimate purpose to access the data if they want to do so. So thank you.
If there are any more questions incoming, could you please add them to the Adobe chat room? We have another question from Volkner Greeman. Regarding Appendix 1, Section 2.6, how is a registrar to magically detect whether a privacy proxy service is used? Data is data.
Volker, this is Cyrus. Thank you for your question. We're going to take this one offline. I don't have a ready answer available to you. It's a good question. We need to do some digging into it, and we'll respond to it offline within a day or so.
As another reminder, you can send questions after the close of the webinar to globalsupport@icann.org. Thank you for the question, Volkner. Based on the decision of the German court, ICANN.EPAG, can German registrars now, in the opinion of ICANN, legally cease collecting the data elements admin and tech?
Volker and Michele, this is Cyrus. Thank you for your question. We actually addressed this at the beginning of the webinar, at the opening of it, that A, we really wish to remain focused on the provisions of the temp spec for the purposes of this webinar. And number two, we remain confident that the provisions of the temp spec are enforceable. If that changes, obviously we'll make an announcement. We did make an announcement after the court decision came out that we're considering all options that are available. But at the same time, nothing has changed from our perspective. And if it does change, we'll be communicating that quickly. Thank you.
We have a question from Tara Kamath. Can ICANN implement the accreditation access model as soon as possible?
Hi, Tara. This is Cyrus, and thank you for your question. Yeah, this continues to be one of the key missing pieces of having a permanent solution in place. At the moment, the board of ICANN is contemplating all the different options that are available. There are conversations taking place with the GNSO Council. We haven't really identified a clear path forward on this, but your point is well taken that a solution as quickly as possible is definitely needed for all of us.
We have a question from Nick Wenden Smith. Is there any guidance on what is a legit purpose?
Hi, Nick. This is Cyrus. Thank you for your question. Effectively, the entire Section 4 is supposed to be the definition of what we consider to be a legitimate purpose. In particular, is it 4.6? I'm looking at my colleagues here. I think gets into even more specifics of it. But Section 4.5, I'm told. So that's, from our perspective, the definition of legitimate purpose.
We have another question from Volker Grimmen. With regards to Appendix C table, what legitimate interest as controller does a registrar have in public RDDS/WHOIS? This must be our legitimate interest after all. Similarly, what contract is supposed to be performed by disclosure of non-public information? Surely not the one with our customer, but as the only one relevant for such a purpose.
Volker, thank you for your question. This is Cyrus again. I think this goes back really to the genesis of a debate about the principles of what we've defined in the temporary spec. I'm not sure if this is the right place or, frankly, if I'm the right person to have this debate with you. Happy to take this offline with you to understand your concern. But from our perspective, we've actually done what we consider to be a balancing act of sort of taking the definition of what the law requires and putting it into a specification for all of us to be able to use and be able to stay compliant with the law. But reach out to me offline so that we can better understand what your concerns are. I don't think this is the right forum for it. I hope that's okay with you.
we're going to do last call for questions, if anybody else would like to send a question through the Adobe chat. Again, if you have questions later on, feel free to send them to globalsupport@icann.org. We have a question from Jeff Newman. What is the timeline again for the escrow amendment language and RRA language?
Hi, Jeff. This is Cyrus. Thank you for your question. I don't, unfortunately, have a specific timeline to share with you. Our objective, obviously, is to have this as soon as possible in relation to all the other things that are going on in parallel. I'm hoping that we'll have something on the RRA by the end of this week to share back with you. For sure, the data escrow is taking us a bit longer. There's, you know, the lawyers involved and the data escrow agents are involved. And once we actually have somewhat of a clarity on that three-party side of it, then we'll be happy and able to share the specifics with you. I suspect that'll get pushed into next week at the earliest. Thanks. We have a question from Michaela Nalen. Do we know when the data escrow contract for DNIC will be ready?
Hi, Michaela. This is Cyrus, and thank you for your question. I think this is the one I just responded to that Jeff Newman was asking. Obviously, the contractual piece between ICANN and the designated agent, which DNIC is one now, is done. But the data escrow agreement piece that actually is impacted by GDPR, that's the part that we're still working on and hope to have available for our contracted parties to see and review by sometime next week.
Thank you, everyone, for joining today's webinar. Again, I'll remind you that the information from this webinar slide deck and the recordings will be posted at ICANN.org at the Data Protection Privacy page. And if you have further questions, you can also email them to globalsupport@ICANN.org. Thank you.